Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. My name is Sunny, and I am here with my co-hosts, Trishula and Skyhawk. How are the two of you doing today?
We don't get custom cards today. We can't call...
You know, I thought about it, and I considered doing the custom cards today, but the more I thought about it, and the more I've been thinking about it, I think I'm actually going to end that bit for the sake of people actually knowing who we all are and realizing that we all actually have real communities behind us, not just three random guys.
Yeah, that's true. Personally,
we have communities.
I would.
I wouldn't call what you have a community.
I thought I was like, just a random guy.
I would personally be fine being eternally known as Swift Bird Man Joe, but I do understand what you're saying.
It's so, not too late to change your Twitter handle.
I mean, I probably should do that anyway, to be honest. From this point forward, you can't refer to me as a giant Skyhawk. I am Giant Birdman Joe, who is also very swift. All right. Yeah. Do you want to read some sponsors?
It's Birdman Joe underscore swift on twitter.com. So, of course, I want to thank all of our wonderful, wonderful Twitter sponsors. So a huge, huge, huge thank you to, of course, TCG Player, as well as Gem Accessories. I want to thank Chainlink TCG, which we have a giveaway that is actually live this time. It was supposed to be live the last two times, and I forgot because I've been working a lot of hours, but it is actually live on Twitter. You can go on to the @TopCutPodcast Twitter and check that out. Sorry, I am being told music is way too loud. Hold on.
While Sonny is being told that his music is way too loud.
It's too late. Okay,
okay, never mind. Carry
on. I got there. So Chainlink TCG is giving away an awesome Sprite playmat. And, of course, it's a Field Center. Sprite playmat and Field Center. They're super, super nice. You should definitely check them out. Of course, we have discount codes and all that down below. Be sure to also check out Grimoire TCG, as well as ETB Games and Steel Fox Games. Those are my two locals that I drive my hour-long commute to whenever I go to locals. And Tier Zero Games, be sure to check them out whenever anything goes on presale, of course, and get a discount on that stuff. So, did I forget anything? As far as actual like affiliate links and stuff, Dragon Shield.
Good, congratulations, Dragon Shield, you got there
now. That's cool.
Also all of our wonderful patrons. Can't forget to thank those people.
Yeah, but that always comes, you know, at the end. I'm getting to it one piece at a time. Okay. Speaking of the
Give
one piece,
hour,
the
I'll
one pace. The one pace is real.
Sunny, name a more iconic duo between Sunny and memes that died 6 months ago.
You remember that we had that conversation? Remember when we had that conversation about like me being a regular part about this podcast? Is it too late for me to like backpedal my answer?
Because I already paid you. It's too late.
Damn it.
You've collected money. It's too late. You're in it now.
Well, I guess on that note, so today we're covering, we got new cards revealed at Jump Festa. So for any GX fans, we've got some new ancient gears to go over. And then we've got some Lightsworns. So now we have more mill cards. So for everybody who likes Tier Limits, maybe rejoice, but not quite. And then there's a new Blue Eyes Bat Chest Fusion Monster, and there's some other TCG product stuff. So I guess before we get into support report a la Rank 10 Yu-Gi-Oh, first bit of news. So the Konami Yu-Gi-Oh Twitter accounts and all the social media accounts last week were like teasing like a big announcement about a product that was coming. So everybody was like curious about what it was going to be. And it turned out it was more of like the metal cards. So the Twitter revealed that for the low, low price of $400, you can buy their arts from the manga, the Egyptian gods. What do you both think about this?
What are your thoughts about the I posted cards? My thoughts on Twitter, which is that somebody needs to be fired. It's ridiculous. I'm going to be honest. I know that this doesn't actually impact me because I'm not the target audience for this. I'm well aware that I'm not the target audience for this product. It's collectors. And they do need things to... They do need things to appeal to these collectors. It doesn't... They can even have expensive things. Three stainless steel cards for $500? This is the appeal? When they had the Dark Magician one, that was $1,000, and they couldn't sell it to save their soul?
DM was more than that. It was $1,300.
What?
It was the original Blue Eyes was $1,000. The DM, right, 2 years later, was $1,300 USD. And these ones are $400.
I'm more interested in the Black Luster Soldier, I'll be honest.
That is, so to be fair, they do have that. If you buy, you have the chance to be entered into a giveaway for, I think, 2,000 copies or so that they're giving away of the Japanese BLS, which, by the way, yes, is apparently going to be tournament legal, despite being in Japanese in TCG regions, which, it's on the website. They're saying, so it's in Japanese, aside from like the fact that it says limited edition on it. It's like an original manga art card, so it's got like the attack and defense and like the weird little box in the corner. And apparently it's going to be tournament legal. I don't know who's going to be playing vanilla BLS, but you can play with that if you really want to. I don't know. Do you have any?
Is it a ritual, or is it like the old one where it's like it's a tribute summon?
It's the vanilla. It's a tribute summon. It's not a
ritual. That's sick, actually. I kind of like that.
That is cool. I do think that part of it is cool. Attaching it to...
They built an entire archetype around that one version of the card.
I think attaching it to a $400 purchase of some Etsy God cards is the thing that's...
Etsy God cards?
I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about the metal cards, Trish? Are you just kind of like, I don't care about this stuff, I'm out?
I don't follow that type of stuff, you know. I play the game. I don't follow the product releases. I saw, like, I think I saw a picture on Twitter, but like, I don't know, they look kind of cool, but I don't have the money for it.
Yeah. they're cool. I think they're cool, but they're not $400 cool. I think, like,
what are they cool?
Like, I'd say, like, well, so if you compare them to, there's other,
like $100.
I was gonna, yeah, that, like, but somewhere between like 80 and 120, I think, because if you look at like the other metal cards that they've done, like kind of like the bigger, chunkier ones, like I remember when we were at YCS London, we saw those.
Yeah.
You can get those.
Tier Zero Games had them, and they're on their website right now.
Yeah, you can get them like pretty inexpensively, depending on the card, like anywhere between like $10 and $30. So, like, mm-hmm, if that's the standard, I think those are cool. I think that's awesome. But $400? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and this is $100 for the set.
I live in Canada where we have fake maple dollars. It's $550 for me. So,
oh, no.
So I'm out. And I hope that people don't buy it, because I want to send a message that it's silly. But I think having stuff that's that expensive is fine. I think the pot collection, for example, is a fantastic idea.
Yes.
Like having like the little mini pots. That's like a unique thing.
That was
along with like individual promos for all of them. And I think it came out to cheaper. I think it was between 200, 300 for that. And that's like
150.
Yeah. So even better than that. I feel like the metal cards thing is just a little overblown, but
I think it's cool that they dropped the price though. Cause like it seems like a cool, like, present step. Like you know like I wouldn't be mad if somebody got that for me, you know what I mean? Like if somebody wanted to spend like $400 and get me that like for Christmas, I wouldn't be mad at them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, coincidentally, chat, we all have PO boxes in the description down below.
No, I have a PO box,
my guys.
I do. How about you? I have a PO box.
Whoa.
Sunny is just Sunny will never cease the grift. We'll be having a serious conversation about the future of product, and Sunny will be like, if you would like to send me some of the product we're debating about, you should.
Okay, let's not say that out loud too loudly.
We are 7 days from Christmas, exactly, as of recording. We're 1 week away from Christmas. Sure. I think that this is a well-timed product. They lowered the price when the price point was clearly like not working last time. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's like a cool product, you know, at least for the holidays. Like, because when I look at those types of products, like what I see is, you know, I'm thinking about my friends who like are outside the Yu-Gi-Oh! sphere. Like the people who will send me that picture of the guy who took Salamangreat on his like wedding from like 3 years ago, like that is like mainstream viral, but like a few years, like, but it's just a few years late, right? So like people who don't know the Yu-Gi-Oh world, like they'll see that, they'll think it's funny, they'll think it's cool, they'll send it to me. So like if somebody saw that was going on sale, they would like maybe see it and think about me, like maybe if they're closer to me, you know, maybe they'd want to spend $400. Like,
right.
You know, I think it's cool, like as like that type of an item, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could very much be that I am just like absolutely far outside the target audience, but I would prefer more stuff like the pot collection than the metal cards, but maybe that's,
I think we're the target audience, but we're not the people who would be buying it. You know what I mean? It would be somebody buying for us.
Deal.
I think that would be true at $50 or $100. I think when you hit that like $400 mark, it's only somebody buying it for themselves to add to their collection. I really do. And I just don't think that, like, I don't know. I feel like this should be a gift and it's not a realistic gift to me. Yeah. But I also have weird, like, I don't know, gift giving for me is a bit different than most people. I will say,
I am not above buying terrible Yu-Gi-Oh! Merch. I spent a very silly amount of money on this Yu-Gi-Oh! Christmas sweater that I'm wearing right now.
It's time to Yule.
The back is even better.
Yes, the back.
Oh, I love that. Is that licensed? Like, is that official?
Licensed. This is official. Yep. It says deck. Wait. It says deck the halls on the back.
Oh my god! When did they release that?
It's live on the store right now. You can go get it on the Konami website.
Yeah, there's no way.
Oh my god! Store, yeah, I mean, Trish is literally like.
I'm like,
Konami merch store is actually coded.
Hold on, what is it? Konami merch store?
I bought it on Merchoid, but I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Shop has it.
Konami shop. I did not even know that this existed.
Yeah,
yeah. There's they actually really some, don't put it out there as much as they
don't
should.
Promo it. There's actually some cool stuff on there. Yeah. Huh. Some decent T-shirts.
I'm not gonna lie. I learned so much on this podcast, like there's so much stuff that like I'm just so speaking of as a reference to our last episode together, have you guys seen what happened to the Kevin Tewart tweet?
Yes.
No, what happened?
It blew up on Twitter.
Yeah, like it had like 20 likes when we were talking about it, and then I retweeted it like right before I went to bed.
We
both did. And I woke up in the morning and my tweet had like 1,000 likes or something crazy. And I went to go check the original tweet and it had like 50 comments and like 700 likes or something crazy. And I was just like, what is going on?
My favorite response to that, I'll send it, was I wish I was dead. And I have go VX Twitter.
By the way, you said...
You have caused.
It's crazy that when you made that tweet with Min C and you sent that, you told your chat, go upvote this, and they did, and then the tweet blew up. But then I, the one who sent it to you, nobody upvoted mine.
You, Sonny, so you know, you know, you know, do you know, you are aware that that upvotes is Reddit, right? It's not Twitter.
Damn it, I've been out
of yeah.
Can I get some Twitter karma, boys? I need to farm some Twitter karma today.
I do need to do that.
Today on r/x, we've
r/x.
I wish I was dead's response was my favorite, which is just like a rat that somebody is holding, and it just says, "You have caused untold suffering and ruined my lasagna." That was my favorite response to the Kevin Tour tweet. I also love people responding with the cactus bouncer as like another option for what the tweet is about. Okay, I think that's
enough. That's true, because it was like a year before Maxi came out, like the tweet. Like, I assume that like they have like a 6 to 12 month development cycle, but like
the reason that I knew about this is because it comes up like once every like year and a half, everybody remembers that the it's Pojo, right? I'm saying it right now is Pojo.
Yes.
Okay. Yep, good. Pojo. I've got that back in my head now. I'm not saying
Totoro Pojo.
That post comes up like every year and a half, and everybody goes through like the two word archives to see if there's anything else crazy. Anyway,
there's always something crazy.
That's enough. I think that's enough Konami merch discourse. I guess maybe before we talk about new cards, Trish, you just put yourself through hell for a weekend.
Oh no! Don't remind me.
How was your experience with the Duelist Cup?
Let's put it this way. I slept for 17 hours last night.
I believe that.
That said, though, we all like to talk about like the Duelist Cup. And if you're not familiar with what Duelist Cup is the 72-hour marathon climb in Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, because there's not an Elo ladder. Like when you hit the top of like ranked, like it's Master One, it doesn't switch over to an Elo system like in other games, other similar card games. You're just done. But what we do is we have these competitions where it is an Elo ladder, but only for 72 hours. and you know, it's a lot of fun. So it's like a race to see who can get first place, and whoever gets first place gets an invite to the World Championship. And if you're in the top 100, you get season points that you can team up with other people and try to qualify to Worlds that way. So it wasn't. I don't think it's as bad as like people make it out to be, because people make it out to be, it's like, oh, you're like torturing your players, stuff like this. Like, this is inhuman. I don't think it's that bad, you know, because like I'm kind of a degenerate. Like, I'll do that kind of stuff anyway. But it's more fun for me, like as a content creator, to do it than I think if you were doing it on your own. Because my favorite thing about DC Cup is it is a really uniting force, like in the community. Because for like 72 hours, everyone is coming together. Like, everyone's talking about it. Everybody's locked in. And everybody cares about like one thing, and you know, to me, that's cool that the community comes together in that way. And you don't see that as often as you would want in Yu-Gi-Oh, so it's nice when it happens. You know, in my mind,
that's true.
That we just have these events that bring everyone together.
Everybody bonding over mutual suffering through 72 hours of Maxi. This is not like to gas you up more than anything else, but like if you want to see like just some sick Dragon Link gameplay, honestly, like the first like 3 hours of your stream I just had it on like in the background at work. It's just like,
that's every day,
really good stuff. So you ended up, I guess we can officially say podcast co-host is the 78th best Master Duel player in the world. So you did sneak in
this month
so you got top 100. I think
How do you get to Worlds? How does that happen, by the way?
You get first.
You get first. Only first place gets to go.
Yeah.
Which huge shout outs to Ryan Yu, by the way. Ryan Yu made it to Worlds again. So proud of him. So proud of him.
Only first place gets to Worlds once a month.
It's not once a month. It's three times a year. Three times a year they have it.
Okay, so only first place goes to Worlds three times a year.
Yep.
So it's only first place is locked in.
Yeah.
Places 2 through 100 get season points, kind of like on the regional circuit, how like you get Worlds points. But it's interesting because Konami actually even acknowledged this. Like, I was doing the math on it, and I was like, oh my god, like, for you to have a shot at going to Worlds, somebody on your team, because you get to team up with other players to combine your season points, someone on the team needs to get second place in one of these for you to have a legitimate shot. And I thought that was just me being like, you know, in my head, it's like kind of a doubter. But then I was reading the details like on the Konami page, like in game, and it specifically has a statement that says teams that have a player that achieves second place have a significant advantage over all other competitors. I was like, there's no way, like, they actually structured it this way,
like first and second. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and what you talk about with like the community coming together is totally true, like especially on Twitch as like content creators. I could load up at any time and there would be like 9 people trying to grind, like you, MBT, Nim, Rokalos, Tempest, who had like Tempest had was kind of rough. He had like his run fell off like at the end, but for a while he was sitting in the top 10 for
we both were.
Yeah, you were both.
We were like our runs
tenth,
were incomplete,
right? Or like third and 10th or something.
Fourth and 5th. Yeah. We held 4th and 5th. He was first place all of day 1.
Yep.
And then at the very end of day 1, someone like caught ahead. I think Ryan like got a little bit ahead of us. Yep. So we finished day 1 at 4th and 5th place globally. Literally right next to each other on the leaderboard. Like, we have a screenshot of it somewhere.
One of you guys day was 2 mini, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, one of them, he was mini full and I was Ray Dye fan.
Ray Dye. You were Ray Dye fan. Okay, we were trying to
That was me. I was Ray Dye Fran.
Wait, who's your third? Is it your team is three
it's
people?
Rourke. It's Rourke. It's me, Tempest, and Rourke. So
that's a banger team, actually. That's pretty sick.
So me and Tempest, we both got hard. So we hit 40K day 1. We were hard stuck 40K day 2. And then I quit stream. I played a little bit off stream, like, because I couldn't sleep. Like, I tried to go to sleep and I was like just too wired, like, from playing Yu-Gi-Oh all day. I went back, I managed to start climbing a little bit, booted up stream again in the morning, peaked at about 52,000-53,000, which is also where Tempest peaked. So we were both like at like 53K at the start of Sunday, which was pretty good. And then both of us washed back down from 53K to 35K. We both lost like 15, 16 games in a row. And he was feeling sick, so he called it quits. I decided to grind it out for like the last 5 hours, and I managed to like recover most of my points and get back up to like 47K. But it was brutal. But the really brutal part was knowing, because I saw Quanel posted on Twitter that he got 50K and finished 20-something.
27th.
27th. So if we had just quit at 53K, we would have been like still top 25, both of us, if we had just quit Sunday morning.
So I was actually going to bring up Quantel. So apparently he did the whole thing without playing Maxi.
I love him. I love him so much.
Really?
He cut it. He cut it.
Wow.
Actually, and so a hard leg, I think, in the replies actually asked him, like, do you think you would have done better if you played Maxi? And he was like, oh, 100%, I should be playing it. I just wanted to make a funny post if I did well without it. And that's, I'm subjecting yourself through 72 hours to make a vaguely funny post, I think, sums up the Yu-Gi-Oh! Twitter experience.
It really does.
That sums up Quanel in like a nutshell, I think.
Oh yeah,
like how he queued Sky Striker just for the joke in the like chance to go to the Tokyo Dome tournament.
Yeah,
and he makes it. He just makes it queuing Striker for the funny.
Yep. The last
your chat made a good point, Trish.
What they said?
Bring that up. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not trying to cut in, but Hackerman.
Oh right. Yes.
Oh yeah. There. So. Okay, so in the last half an hour, this was for me. So in the last half hour, while I'm trying to recover my points, and you know, it's like do or die, I encounter somebody who just sits there in their draw phase. And I think that they're griefing, right? You know, it's just like, oh, he's just going to sit there. He turned on his auto clicker or something. And like, he's just going to hope that I like scoop because we're in like the last half hour. Right. So that's what I thought. But I was like, I used to play Dueling Book at like 3 a.m. when there was like no judges online. You know, I'm used to the people who try to auto clicker you. I have sat for 2 hours in a rated match just watching YouTube waiting for them to give up. You know, I have that type of patience. I'll do it. But
amazing.
I knew with Master Duel, there's only a 5 minute max timer on your turn. So if after 5 minutes, you know, he should time out and lose. Like, he'll have to start playing the game. And so we timed it. 7 minutes later, he still has not played a single card. And we're like, oh, this guy's hacking. You know, like, it's past the amount of max time that he has. So we quit out of the game. You know, we report him, move on. And that was that for me. And then my community, like, so I post about it on Twitter. And my community is, like, linking all of these other tweets to, like, other people that encountered him. I think I Wish I Was Dead queued into him right after me for the next 20 minutes or so.
Yep.
There was and keep in mind this is at the end of DC Cup when the time matters. So there was that, but then there was a Japanese guy who sat there for 4 hours against the same guy. It was all the same player.
Really?
Yeah.
Got most of it on video too. Yep.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's crazy. It looks bizarre too. It's just some like no idea how it happened, but I think he said like his PC went to sleep, so he couldn't get like the rest of the footage. But the guy was there for like 4 hours.
That's bonkers.
So I guess that's Master Duel. So we still have.
Thankfully, it was one guy. Like it wasn't like a bunch of people hacking. It was just literally one guy because it was the same idea every time.
And like it, somebody so. Like. Who was like high enough rated that you were queuing into them in
well think about it they like, never lost
at that stage
not necessarily well, that it was they're, that I they're guess, high enough
I guess if they're hacking maybe
well I mean, no so something that happens towards the end of DC Cup is people stop playing because they don't want to risk losing points.
So that screws up, Matt, who you get queued against.
Yeah, so the start and the end are easier than the middle because the middle is when everyone is, like, fighting for their life to lock in first place.
I was curious about how Ryan, because ADK, I think, is, like, because a pre
that's just Ryan.
Yeah.
No, that's just Ryan.
That's just Ryan? Okay, because I was going to say, some of the other winners I remember from when these events happened were ended at, like, what, 72K or something like that? Like, 60 yeah. something? 80, I thought 80 was, like, crazy high, but...
It is. I think it's the highest that's ever been achieved. But Ryan, I don't know if he still holds the record, but I know, because I was talking to the DB Grinder, and he said a couple months ago somebody also went crazy on DB Rated. But I know for years, Ryan held the title of being the only person to have 2000 elo on DB in a given format. Dude, he was because I remember the whole Dueling Book community went crazy because Ryan was the first person to ever hit 2000 elo on Dueling Book and you know lock in first place on ladder. So Ryan's just insane. He's truly one of the greatest. He started with Zoot. It was a mix of Zodiac, Labyrinth, Cash Tira, and Dragon Link.
What a lineup.
And it's funny that Zodiac was the deck that he queued for the start of the cup, because Zodiac is also the deck that he got his record with on DB Rated. which is why I like low key that's actually why Dryden got rebanned. Like it was that format because like some of the top tier players realized it's like, oh, pure Zodiac's like the best deck in this format, but like nobody was playing it. And Ryan went crazy with that deck. It was disgusting.
Well that's
we
Master
have
Duel.
A whole host of other things to talk about, and we're halfway through the episode.
True.
So I think next thing to talk about is first I'm going to get the list of stuff back up.
Gears.
We had a whole list. Gears? Here we go.
Is it time for Gears?
Jump Festa News.
Jump Festa News, which is Gears?
Of War?
Yes, I am getting geared up of War. But
when is Konami doing Gears of War? Come on.
How do we feel about the new Rota artwork, the Sky Striker Rota artwork?
Oh, it's cool. I would like to see...
Are you happy that we're doing this?
I would like to see archetype-specific alt arts of generic cards. I think that's fun. I think the more unique art stuff that we get for cards, the better. We've been wanting like full arts forever, but if they want to make a bunch of alt arts, that works for me. I'm good.
Zodiac Tenki.
Am I weird for not wanting alt art or full arts?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that is a weird view. I understand it.
Chat roast, go.
It could be annoying, but with context, it would be weird, but I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I think if Pokemon can make it work, we can.
I don't know. I don't like them in Pokemon either. I might just be weird, but I just think full arts look ugly. Like, that's just me.
I disagree, but extremely respectable opinion. I got nothing bad to say about that.
This is only going to be relevant for exactly my YouTube chat because you guys literally just cannot see my camera. Your chat can't see my camera. This is
the picture of you.
But I'm just going to say, I'm not like the biggest Magic the Gathering guy, but to be able to have these like super sick full art, just like random cards in the set, not even like the most high end cards in the game, just random full art, borderless arts, alt arts of these, it's just the coolest thing. Just that you can pull. Like imagine if, I don't know, what else is in Age of Overlord? Like, what are the relevant things in Age?
SP Little Knight, Wanted Package, Horus Package.
All right, and what's the next best thing after those? And let's take that, Mantis. Whatever that thing is. whatever that thing is that you can't name right now, let's give that, like, two alt arts and, like, four rarities. And that's just every set in Magic, which makes things, I think, individually harder to pull. But it spreads the price distribution out so much that a lot of times cards are somewhat cheap-ish, depending on the card. Oh. I'm not going to say every card is cheap. Like, Ragavans were $80 for every kind of it.
I forgot that Typhon and Arios existed. Yeah, Arios, the Labyrinth Butler, and then Typhon.
Imagine if we just had a full art Typhon.
Isn't that what you're describing what OCG does, though? Like, because I swear OCG has, like, a million printings and, like, different rarities of every card in the game.
They do.
Yeah, so in OCG sets, it's very common for one card to come as common, super, ultra, ulti, and starlight in one set. That's, like...
There's usually
seven or eight cards per set that do that, at least.
Yeah, they have a few that have multiple prints that way. That would be sick.
Their entire Sinful Spoils package is $10.
All right.
For the whole pack.
We've stalled on enough. It's time to talk about the Gears, Sonny.
Okay. Jump Festa News, I felt like was
relevant. I like Gears.
It's gear time.
All right. Like I said, we're gearing up. So let's go ahead and talk about the Gears of War, the Gears of Jump Festa, whatever. So let's start here. We do have new cards to cover. Let's go see if I can block Skyhawk's face with this. Here we go. I can block Skyhawk.
You can block my face, but you cannot block out my passion for ancient gear.
I will say, it's kind of crazy to me that this is essentially how we're justifying reprinting all of the Edison cards, because we both know that. Like, we all know, this is a ploy to reprint Edison cards. That's what this feels like.
Is it? I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's how that works. I think it's just a nice side effect.
It might be a nice side effect, but it's weird that they pick two Edison-relevant decks to give these huge retrains to.
Well, think about it. They've been doing dual monsters retrains for a few years now. It was only natural that we were moving on to like GX era stuff, and that's just like timeline stuff. Because like if you think about it, like, you could call all of the like Duel Monsters, or like the DM era, like support from a few years ago, a ploy to get people into goat format, because that used to be the popular legacy goat, like the legacy format.
Yeah, but there was no Dark Magician plays in goat format.
You didn't play back then, bro, because people would show up at locals and play their Dark Magician Blue Eyes Rubber Band deck. That's like true. Crazy. Sure,
speaking of Dark Magician Blue Eyes Rubber Band deck, we do have a new fusion incorporating both of those decks.
Is it crossover?
It's a Dragon Master Knight retrain.
Retrain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It requires we'll get to it when we get there. Let's do the gears.
I already have this stuff pulled up on the screen. I'm just waiting for you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. He's waiting on us. All right. So let's go ahead and start with, of course, Ancient Gear Dark Golem. This is a level 8 Earth Machine effect monster. 3,000 attack, 3,000 defense, mirroring, of course, Ancient Gear Golem. You can only use the second effect of this card's name once per turn. One, this card's name becomes Ancient Gear Golem while on the field or in the graveyard. Two, if this card is normal or special summoned, you can activate this effect. You cannot set cards for the rest of this turn. Also, you can add up to 2 Ancient Gear cards and or Gear Town from your deck to your hand, except Ancient Gear Dark Golem, then discard 1 card. Three, if this card attacks, your opponent cannot activate spell trap cards until the end of the damage step. That makes sense. It's every Ancient Gear card, I think, just about is like that. Obviously, if it's normal or special summoned, being able to go ahead and add 2 Ancient Gears, discard 1 is crazy. It also adds Gear Town. Adding 2 Gear Town can be crazy. Well, no, because Gear Town misses timing in advanced if you do Gear Town over Gear Town. But still, this is...
That's true.
This is very good.
Ancient text. Yeah, I mean, add any 2 in-archetype cards, good. And there are some cards later down the line that... that help you get this guy out, because obviously we're not tribute summoning this card in the year of our Lord 2024.
You're definitely going to tribute summon this card, but I will say, no, you only need 1 tribute. I mean, you're definitely going to do this at some point.
It's a level 8.
Gear Town reduces it, but there are other cards that the wave of support
there's
assists
cards that we're
in
going
getting
to read
out. Yeah.
That tribute summoning.
Sunny's about to activate cost down.
True.
Gear Town is cost down naturally. Gear Town does that.
Yep.
If you activate Gear Town and then play cost down, then it's a normal summon, right?
But it's not a tribute summon.
Ah, true.
There's a card later, if I'm not mistaken, that lets you tribute summon one.
I don't know. This is very complicated.
I'm reading the
anyway,
next card.
We'll get there.
This is very complicated.
Really,
read the next
relevant part about this. The most relevant part about this card is that its name is Ancient Gear Golem, and it doesn't have the special summoning restriction that Ancient Gear Golem has.
True.
Very relevant.
This card is much better than Ultimate Pound, that's for sure. So next up, Ancient Gear Tanker. We've got a level 4 Earth Machine effect. 1300, 1300. You can only use the first and second effect each once per turn. First off, if this card is normal or special summoned, you can special summon an Ancient Gear monster from your hand, except for Tanker, ignoring its summoning conditions, which means Ancient Gear Golem's on the menu. Or, if your opponent controls a monster, you can special summon it from your graveyard instead. And then two, you can target a face-up card you control, destroy it. And if you do, for the rest of this turn, all monsters you control that are Ancient Gear Golem or mention it gain 600 attack. So this is pretty sick. This is obviously a way to get Ultimate Pound out, and then, or not Ultimate Pound, a Dark Golem out, but it also gets anything else that you want out of your deck. I really like when they design cards that are playable going first, but also have upside going second. So I think even if like the wave of support, it doesn't suddenly make Ancient Gear a playable deck. It's kind of like the Battle and Boxer spell that came out ages ago that had a bonus effect going second. I think that's the way to design stuff going forward, especially as the game gets faster and faster, is being able to have your engine pieces have upside going second. And I think this is a super cool way to do that.
I just thought about it. I bought all the Ancient Gear cards except for Golem itself in Ultimate First Ed.
Ancient Gear Fusion about to go brazy in price.
There's an Ancient Gear Field spell that was in a structure deck, and then they're $35 now.
Trish, would you like to enlighten us about Commander next up?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Nice.
So we got the Ancient Gear Commander. I'm going to just look at him real quick. He's kind of pointing. He looks kind of
you.
Kinda sick. You.
Giant metal.
We're not going to mention that for the podcast because I thought children watch this, Sonny.
They do, but it doesn't mean it's not phallic.
I
That's definitely getting censored.
You know what? I'm gonna okay. The attack is 500 and the defense is 2,000, and it also has.
Just ignore him. Read the card.
Okay. You can only use the first, second, and third effect of this card's name once each turn. So interesting that it says this card's name. So maybe you can't copy it with like stuff like what's the fiend card, the chaos fiend or something?
Oh, a phantom of chaos.
That one. Yeah. So this is a slight like text differentiation. Just to play around stuff like cards that can copy the names of other cards and like copy their effects.
Fun. How they do the translation on this website, though, specifically is what I'll say. I do think that that's like a how they do a hard once per turn through the translation and the initial translation.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I just know that there's sometimes a difference between this card's effect and this card's name.
True.
You can so its first effect is you can send an ancient gear golem from your hand, deck, or graveyard, or hand, deck, or face up field to the grave. Immediately after this effect resolves, normal summon an ancient gear.
Okay, I misread this. It's circular. Nice.
Kind of. Yeah. Kind
not
of.
Not quite. But
I'm playing the hell out of this deck.
It's like diameter circular. Ancient gear radius. Kind of. But if you normal, its second effect is if you normal or special summon an ancient gear golem, you can special summon an ancient gear golem from your hand or graveyard, ignoring its summoning conditions. And then third effect is you can banish this card from your graveyard, place one ancient gear continuous trap from your hand face upon your field. So I don't know if there is an ancient gear trap that we're going to be searching to our hand.
There is.
That then we want to cheat out. There is.
Alert. We're going to find out in two more cards.
Okay, so like maybe that's going to be broken, but it's cool because what it looks like the intended idea for this deck is that you like summon this, you dump an ancient gear golem, and then you summon a card that is considered ancient gear golem. So probably the dark golem.
Yeah.
And then you put like 6,500 in stats on the field immediately.
Yeah, and you add two ancient gear cards to your hand, and also bring back an ancient gear from the graveyard. So you can. It seems like they're setting up a lot of two card combos that generate some pretty sick advantage. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sunny. Also, there's Ancient Gear Reborn that's been out since Howitzer got released in my chat. So I guess there's multiple Ancient Gear continuous traps. Yeah.
Being able to search the Quick Play Fusion is pretty sick for anybody trying to OTK too. Okay.
All right. Next, we have Ancient Gear Advance. This is a continuous spell card. You can only activate one card with this card's name per turn. You cannot set cards the turn you activate this card. Interesting. One, when this card resolves, you can add one Ancient Gear spell trap from your deck to your hand, except Ancient Gear Advanced. Two, once per turn, you can tribute one monster, draw one card, and if you do until the end of this turn, you can normal summon level 5 or higher monsters that are Ancient Gear Golem or mention it without tributing. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's Rota for any spell trap in the deck. Also, kind of does like a Kesh Tira Birth type thing that draws you a card if you get a body on board. Also, this is like the sickest card art I've seen in such a long time. Look at this.
Yeah.
We got the...
This is so cool. It doesn't even look like a Yu-Gi-Oh card. Like, it just looks like art.
Yeah, like we got the...
All of them are like that. All the Ancient Gear cards are just so sick.
Yeah, this like we got so crazy background. We got the castle. Ugh, it's beautiful. Okay.
As long as the deck is not $800, I'm playing it.
Last up, continuous trap card, Ancient Gear Duel. You can only use the second effect once per turn. One, monsters you control that are Ancient Gear Golem or mention it are unaffected by your opponent's activated monster effects. Two,
okay.
If you're I love Miscellaneousaurus. Two, if your opponent controls a monster, you can fusion summon a fusion monster that mentions Ancient Gear Golem from your extra deck by banishing materials mentioned on it from your field and or graveyard, including an Ancient Gear Golem you control. And if you do, it can make up to 3 attacks during each battle phase. So, So this card actually is kind of insane. I think this, like, legit, this might be the best card in the wave. Obviously, we have the commander.
Insearchable.
which can place it from hand. It's super searchable. Placing it from hand gets around. A lot of the ancient gear cards have restrictions that prevent you from setting cards. The fact that this means that your guys on field are unhand trappable if you get to like gear duel and you can place it face up with something like commander, like it does make commander a bit of a choke point, but like it means you have to interact with commander and then the rest of your plays go off. Also, like, the fact that it can be a disruption and like summoning like an ancient gear fusion, like turning, there's two things that are kind of weird design wise. They're like, okay, this is an OTK deck. In order to make an OTK deck good, we have to give it insane protection. This is the insane protection. Activated monster effects that have like, if you got Ancient Gear Golem or you mentioned it, ain't no Ash Blossom here. So
yeah,
it's dangerous.
I mean, that's the way to do it. Yeah. I mean, that's why Dinos was like the best going second deck in the game for a while. It was just because like Misk just made it safe to go second.
Yep. No Veiler either. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. The No Veiler thing is like, that's kind of moot in my mind, right? Because like this card is only getting on the field if Commander resolves. So like,
that's fair. That's totally
you're
fair.
You're still losing to Veiler, but what this seems good for me, right, is when you go second, your opponent usually has a board, right? Like they have like dudes on the field.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can just make all the cards on their field invalid is really, really solid.
Yeah, that
it's kind of like a soft dark, really.
Yeah,
I like that you say Ash. Also, I will say, if you do have an Ash in hand, it's also worth Ashing the Ancient Gear Advance before they can search the duel.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah. It's one of those like the threat of the. It's kind of like they tried to do this with the Earthbound Field spell, where they were like, if you get rid of this on the field, you will suffer the consequences. We will get to resolve this card. The threat of like this existing means you have to interact in a certain way with Ancient Gear because you have to keep them off of this.
Right.
So interesting. All right.
Next, let's do the Dragon Master Knight retrains.
Blue eyes. I love dual monsters.
I love dragons.
True.
Dragon? Did somebody say dragons?
Yeah. I believe actually it is Trisha's turn. Would you like to read the new dragon?
Yes, I would like to read the new dragon because there's three dragons on the field. Did you know three dragons is Striker Romulus into Seals?
True.
But unfortunately not with this card though. So it is a light dragon fusion effect monster with 5,000 points of attack score and 4,000 points of defense score. So it's technically weaker than the original Dragon Master Knight, right? Wasn't that 5k 5k?
That's five-headed dragon, isn't it? Let me see. Dragon.
They both are.
I thought Dragon Master Knight was also a 5k 5k.
I think this is same stats. I think
Master Knight. Master Knight is 5k 5k. You are correct. This is technically weaker.
I know my old school boss monsters. I played a lot of Tag Force.
True.
So it takes a Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon, or in parentheses, or three Blue Eyes monsters. So it is easier to summon than Dragon Master Knight, and it also needs one Chaos or Black Luster Soldier Ritual Monster. So you can either use the original materials to summon Dragon Master Knight, or you can use cards from their modern equivalents, which is cool. So now we have a modern equivalent version of Dragon Master Knight for our modern equivalent Blue Eyes and Yugi decks.
Sure.
So it does have a summoning restriction that it must be fusion summoned, so you can't like bring it back with Call the Haunted or something like that. And it has two effects. When your opponent activates a card or an effect, quick effect, you can negate the activation, and if you do, destroy that card, period. You can only activate the effect of this card's name in response to each type of card, monster, spell, or trap, once per turn. So it's kind of like a better Quasar in some ways, where it's like, it has three negate slap to it, but only one for monster, one for spell, and one for trap. And then if this face-up card leaves the field by your opponent, you can special summon one Blue Eyes monster or one Chaos Ritual monster or one Black Monster Soldier Ritual monster from your graveyard or extra deck.
It's a hefty investment, but it's a big payoff. I mean, three Omnis conditionally is pretty crazy. It also floats. Summoning it is hard, but I've seen some people post. I think Scarlon was the first one to realize this. You can make this with King of the Swamp and Delusion of Chaos.
Yep.
So there will,
really
there will yeah, probably
so you can play illusion in tier and just summon this.
It would not so interesting. Well, I don't know if tier can do it. But there are cards that you do to summon this. Like if you can get out one of the rituals, you can make like Muddy Mud Dragon and make this, because Muddy Mud Dragon can be Blue Eyes.
Actually interesting.
Yeah. So there's like it's still very hard to get out, but it's like generically doable some ways. So I'm curious to see if people will do some cooking with this. I don't know that it's like that crazy. Like floating into spirit is cool. But I mean, it's like an actual payoff for the Blue Eyes decks. So yeah, it seems legit.
I was going to actually say that this card seemed a little bit underpowered, like that the investment was like kind of high for like what you're getting, because like a conditional 3 Omni Negate, like that sounds strong until you realize it's like, oh yeah, like I do this and then
I went minus it just four. Gets cut.
Yeah, -4 or like I get kaiju'd after I invested my entire hand into like my funny dragon. So yeah, and it's like it's only once each, so it's like, okay, I'm going to activate like Bestial Lubellion, and it's like, I'll chain. And it's like, all right, I'll chain Gamma. You lose.
Bye bye.
Goodbye. So like I would have wanted to see something more like Dragoon where it had like protection on it. But now that you guys mentioned that this is actually like makeable with two like not terrible cards in like King of the Swamp and Illusion of Chaos.
It's almost playable.
I think it actually is playable.
There
for Tyrolament.
Yeah.
I think that this is like low key a tier card. Kind of. Well, actually, no. Never mind.
I'll say
I forgot that tier monsters have words on them where they have to be used as part of the fusion.
They have to use themselves, yeah. So you can't
get them. Yeah.
There's like
it was so close though. So close.
There's like, I think there is a universe where a deck comes together that uses this. But it is far away and we're not there yet. but
I don't know. I still think here. It's possible Tyr could like maybe play this, like it because like Tyr could just go into the synchro that makes this. It like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a virtual world card, because I remember virtual world for a while would make Dragoon.
I was gonna say
using Muddy Mud Dragon.
I was gonna say world maybe there's a way. Where
go ahead.
Oh no, you take it away, Sammy. What's your
say? Is there a world where the tier deck plays the Illusion of Chaos with a small Magician Souls package? Because they do run some spells traps that they could use. They could use it like draw engine, and then pair that where you can do King of the Swamp and a tier name for Muddy Mud Dragon.
You probably could. Because
if you're running King of the Swamps, you can run like one poly to make it searchable. Like Illusion if you have
Chaos,
to play.
You don't have to put the Illusion of Chaos back into your deck. You can put anything back into your deck. Exactly. So if you wanted to like deep draw to see King of the Swamp poly and Illusion of Chaos, you absolutely could. I was messing with it in Fluffle when they revealed this, and it's like, it's very doable. But it's still higher investment than it's worth, but it's like it's possible to do, and it's probably possible to build around. But anyway,
yeah,
I think the best home sounds like virtual world to me, because like you want to pitch, you know, like your Cheng Longs and stuff, and they're all level threes, they're tuners and non-tuners. So like reveal Lulu makes this card, like if you just have Illusion of Chaos plus Lulu, so like because you just search the. It's a six. It's a six synchro.
Oh, so the only problem with Muddy Mud Dragon is that it has to. The materials have to be on the field, so you can't use the IOC. Yeah, that's the issue that I also run into.
Never mind.
To make Muddy Mud Dragon?
No. The synchro.
Yeah. Oh,
the synchro requires that makes sense, because I think what they used to do is they would use Muddy Mud plus. I think it was Ultimaya Zulkin.
Yeah,
because it was a dragon that just sat there and it just did nothing. So you just fused it off.
Yeah,
chat mentioned Prisma as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about Prisma. Maybe
Manadium moment.
Oh no,
Manadium's gonna start playing the Prismas again, and they're gonna start playing Illusion of Chaos to cycle.
Illusion of Chaos, send my dead field spells. Hilarious.
Yeah. Send the dead field spell and then fusion for like. Super Quasar.
Crazy.
All right, Slayer, you know your job. You need to Master Duel replay summoning this card using Prisma and send it to Trish. He has to watch it on stream.
Okay. time is coming up, so really quickly.
Yeah, let's roll through the Lightsworn. We got 6 minutes. We got time.
Yeah, we'll dunk through the Lightsworn cards real quick.
Speaking of dragons, Dragon of Lightsworn.
Oh, dragons.
Oh, there's more.
Dragons.
All right, so
Dragon cute. Of Lightsworn.
Huh? Yeah, he's a cute little guy. Yeah, it's mini JD. Cute. Look at him. Actually, something funny about this, the stats are half of JD's stats. So instead of 3K, 26, it's 15, 13. It's awesome.
All right, level 4 light dragon effect monster, 1500 attack, 1300 defense. You can only use the first, second, and third effect of this card's name each once per turn. One, if you have a Lightsworn monster in your graveyard, you can special summon this card from your hand. Okay. Two, if this card is special summoned, you can send one Lightsworn card from your deck to your graveyard except itself. Okay. Three, if this card is sent to the graveyard, you can add one dragon monster, 3000 attack, 2600 defense from your deck to your hand. I mean, this seems...
It's
hyper cracked. Playable.
It's absolutely cracked. So one thing
that this is good.
One free
thing,
of.
One thing playable. That's cool that this does is that this is an in-engine way to unbrick yourself from Wolf. Because you can I'm thinking there's a different card that does it. My bad. I'm ahead of myself. I'm thinking Weiss. My bad.
I think you were ahead of yourself before with Commander, because this card actually is just circular. It summons itself from hand and then dumps any lights.
Yeah, the only difference is
this card is actually Math Mech Circular.
You have to have... When you summon Wolf, you just make Abyss Dweller for your opponent's turn.
Yeah, this is like if you mill a Wolf. Yeah, because you can send you can use this to send Wolf and then Wolf summon itself.
It's a free rank 4. It's a free Minerva.
Yeah, this also, like, add Judgment Dragon makes this card, again, have utility going second, but going first as well, as we'll see later. So
are
this
there
is
other the, dragons
at point? You can 30, just link 26? Off the Striker Dragon.
Are there right? other dragons at 3026? Okay, while you guys...
I'll look through the card. I'll look through the card pool while you guys...
While,
okay, this card's yours.
Yeah, while Trish is digging, this is the card I was talking about that helps solve the Wolf problem.
Yeah.
So this is Weiss, Lightsworn Archfiend. Shout out to Weiss Schwartz. Level 4 Light Fiend Tuner. Being a tuner is sick. So, 0 attack, 1700 defense. You can only use each effect once per turn. One, you can place one other Lightsworn card from your hand on top of the deck. Special summon this card from your hand, then send the top two cards of your deck to the graveyard. Two, if this card is sent from the deck to the graveyard, you can target a Lightsworn monster in your graveyard except for itself and special summon it. This card is ridiculous. So, if you open this card and Wolf, you can just stack the Wolf, send the special summon this card from your hand, then mill the Wolf and a second card. Wolf summon itself. And this is true for any Lightsworn card that you would rather mill than open. So this card solves like a lot of brick hands that you might have. Also, the fact that it's just Wolf Bark, not Wolf Bark, but if it's milled, it's reborn for any Lightsworn. If you open this in Wolf, it instantly sets up the Synchro that we'll see later. Card is cracked.
Yep. These cards are literally nuts. And I wonder, because it summons... the one before it, the baby Judgment Dragon, summons itself. Like, is there a world where this is like an engine in Dragon Link?
I think they require
probably not.
Three summons, three level fours.
They're actually designed pretty carefully because like monsters. Mini Dragon already requires that you have a Lightsworn in your graveyard, which means you need additional setup. Vice like is best if you have another Lightsworn card in your hand. And it also summons like a Lightsworn. So I feel like as they've designed these very carefully where you can mill cards in Lightsworn, but you have to be on enough Lightsworns to get value out of them. I think that's like, I think they were scared of tier. And so they designed these to make it not be a thing.
So here's the thing. This is also why I immediately check the card pool. There only exist in the entire game 5 dragons that have 3026 as their stat line. Only 2 of them are not named Judgment Dragon.
What are they?
So the 3 monsters are Judgment Dragon.
Yeah.
Punishment Dragon, which is just evil Judgment Dragon.
Yeah.
Synchro Judgment Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the first 3. The other 2 are World Chalice Guard Dragon Armaduke, which is a fusion monster, and also Black Brew Drago, which is a Edison. Gemini Synchro monster.
Let's go.
Edison! They're doing more Edison reprints. They're going to reprint Black Brew Drago. You heard it here first, folks.
True. Searchable from the
X. You are just a prophet.
I don't know.
You have no idea how many times I've spoken things into existence on this podcast.
He spoke the Gate Guardian support into existence.
Literally.
I mean,
there's a chance that we also might manifest Kevin Tewart back into like social media
limelight.
So
imagine Kevin Tewart out of nowhere just hopping on Twitter and be like, "What's up, guys? What'd I miss?"
It's like, why does my tweet have like 700 likes now? Yeah. What happened?
All right.
So also it's a tuner.
Yeah. Fusion up next. Trish, you got the Fusion?
I got the Fusion.
Oh, you?
No, no. You just read the baby dragon.
The baby dragon. Trish gets the big dragon.
I'm already sad. I just saw something. So I know that this card is supposed to be really, really good because people are talking about it on Twitter. Or it's supposed to be like really broken. But somebody made a tweet where it was like, any guesses on how splashable this would be? And the like 1 to 10, right? And 10 was like 2 dragons, and 1 was like specifically judgment plus punishment.
Mm.
And those are in fact the materials for this card, so I'm very disappointed.
It's a 1.
But it is a level 10 light dragon with 3k requiring judgment and punishment dragon. Its name is Enlightenment Dragoon, or Enlightenment Dragon probably for us. Must be special summoned by banishing the above cards from your field and graveyard, 1 from each of them. So you have to have 1 in the grave and 1 on the field. It doesn't matter which is where, but 1 has to be in each location.
Yep.
So interesting summoning condition. I like that they're doing that with fusions. It feels like fusions for a little while have just been like the let's try out new ways to summon monsters thing. Yep. So kind of like that. As 3 effects, once per turn, quick effect, you can pay 2k life, banish all other cards on the field and in both players' graveyards.
Which is
super judgment dragon.
You're getting judged if this is the field, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, how could you let this happen? Once per turn during the second effect, once per turn during the end phase, send 4 cards from the top of your deck to the graveyard so it maintains the judgment dragon, like mill 4. And then 3, if this card is destroyed by your opponent, I'm assuming that that's just like shorthand for like opponent's card, like either by battle or card effect. Mm-hmm. You can add 1 each of your banished judgment and punishment dragons to your hand. Then you can summon both of them, ignoring their summoning conditions.
It's a nasty boss.
I love that.
Yeah,
this card it's Battle Butler is what this card is.
It's better than Battle Butler. It nukes everything everywhere.
Yep. It's
all at once.
I mean, this card's crazy.
Yep. Sunny, you got Synchro?
I do. Minerva, Lightsworn Athena, level 8 light synchro fairy effect monster, 2800 attack, 1800 defense, materials, 1 tuner, 1 or more non-tuner monsters. Oh, a generic level 8 synchro. That's never gone poorly.
Ooh.
All right. You can use the first and third effect of this card's name each once per turn. 1, if this card is synchro summoned, you can send lightsworn monsters with different types from your deck to the graveyard up to the number of lightsworn monsters used as material for this card's summon. 2, lightsworn monsters you control cannot be banished by card effects. Oh. Cool. 3, you can banish up to 4 lightsworn monsters from the graveyard, send that many cards from the top of your deck to the graveyard. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it saves itself from Enlightenment Dragon.
I think so.
Yeah.
And your other Lightsworn monsters as well. So it protects your presence on the field from being banished if they're Lightsworns. The other thing is that the new level 4 sets this up like almost perfectly. So like the level 4 plus another any 4 on field, so like Weiss even might do it. Say you make
it's Fellas, right? You dumb Fellas.
You can, yeah. So say you do like Weiss Wolf, right? You do Weiss stack, summon Weiss, mill Wolf, summon Wolf, make this. That's you have 2 in the graveyard. You use 2 materials to make it. So you now have 4 materials in the grave, 4 Lightsworns, because you foolish 2. Which means that if you used the Dragon of Lightsworn to add JD, that's your 4 to just summon JD. And then if you want to continue your plays, you can banish all 4 of those and then mill 4 more cards. I love that they were like, we're making Chaos Ruler for this deck, but only for this deck. It's really sick design.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yes, it's just, it's Lightsworn's Chaos Ruler. Because Lightsworn was very sad when Chaos Ruler got banned, and so Konami was like, actually, you guys can have your own Chaos Ruler. We have to keep the other one locked up, but you get one.
I would like to just throw out there, I just remembered, Vice Lightsworn Archfiend, if you look at it really closely, is actually Snow Unlight of the Dark World with a hood.
Wait, really?
Yes. Actually, yes. It was pointed out on Twitter by, I believe, Golden Nova.
Of course Nova found out about that. That is really sick. That's cool. Huh.
So now we don't know if Snow went evil to join the Dark World or if Snow got enlightened by the Enlightenment Dragon to be a Twilight. We don't know, but there's some lore here, and we now for sure guaranteed the Dark World and the Lightsworn have overlapping lore.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well,
last
card, it's me. Lightsworn Aegis.
Okay.
So this card is actually really interesting. Normal trap card. Only use each effect once per turn. One, target face-up cards your opponent controls up to the number of Lightsworn monsters you control. Negate their effects until the end of this turn. So it's like multi-imperm. If you have a bunch of Lightsworns, it's like Imperm Dark Ruler. And then two, if this card is sent from your deck to the graveyard, you can set it. So it's cool that they have like a trap payoff that like resets itself so that there's no longer the risk of just like you don't want to play cards that you don't want to mill. So this is a cool like, yeah, you get your searchable imperm, you have to send it from deck to grave, but you don't like lose it and you can't like research it out or something if you mill it accidentally. So
like searchable Dark Ruler almost, because it does as many as you want.
It's also face up cards, so it's actually more like trap card hot red kind of.
Yeah.
So like you could use, so this is kind of an Omni Negate. Maybe the better comparison is like Modulce Promenade. That's just like a, you control a Lightsworn, negate a card. So this seems really cool. I think it's sick.
Oh, it can negate Dark Ruler.
Yeah. Yes. I was gonna point that out, is that it's not like imperms. It doesn't only negate monsters, it negates cards, which is really not huge, actually.
You didn't send a trap card with your Forbidden Droplet. I've got bad news for you. All right. I think
people are gonna have to do Dark Ruler chain droplet send droplet.
What?
Like, I see what you're saying.
I mean, not droplet. Send Dark Ruler. It's gonna be like Dark Ruler chain this target Dark Ruler chain, I
mean,
droplet.
You could chain droplet send droplet if you open two, but I mean.
I don't think
droplet a hard one for turn
for droplet, or does it say except for this card?
You can send a different copy of droplet for cost. I'm pretty sure.
I know, but does it say you can't send this card, or does it say you can't send forbidden droplet?
You can't send it. You can't send itself. That's not how that works.
Obviously. anyway. All right. Well, let's go ahead and thank all of our wonderful patrons, because this episode has already run very, very long, which is mostly my fault.
Should I brace myself?
I think there's only one charge.
I don't think there's anything too.
There's a good one. There's a good one at the top. That is funny.
Yeah, and I had to sing it because I sang it on the Patreon episode. So, all I want for Christmas is goo. No,
they want the goo. They want the goo for Christmas.
Yeah.
Boo.
Always second Zyphorus at the Wumpalog, Big Stinky, Ding Dong's Hostess of the Yang Zing, Give Me Some More Dragussy, Konami, HGH Cyber, John Leal, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Place Pendulums, A Silver Hope, Skyhawk Over, The Beatles, Understanding and Reading are two different things, Virtually Savior's World, Visa, Star Frosting, D's Nuts, Wind Up Carries, Infidel Mayity, Aaron Garner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, Atsio, Simp of the Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silver in the Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Eyes is best, Copium, Box Wine, Come On and Get Your Game One, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, Ice Jade will win a YCS before Swoosh. I'm about to Rika Glimmer, Tuber Cross, these plant nuts near your mouth, level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Lama Yama, Cam Sarama, Maxi Pack, Old Man Red, Pingo 143, Sinful Soils, and Sunny's Internet Gremlin. Thank you all so much for the continued support of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. You got him at the end.
I love
you
Sunny's got him Internet at the Gremlin. End. That's a good one.
Patreons.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like
so
that.
Now that Trish has adjusted himself to our Patreon names, we're gonna need a refresh on these. We're gonna need some more craziness. That's all I've got. You want to take us out, Skyhawk?
Yeah, I do have a card pun for you. This one's not very good. So which Yu-Gi-Oh monster would you say is both capable of searching is capable of searching flip monsters and is very good at cleaning windows?
I don't know what, man.
I can tell I've already sent you off the deep end. That would be Spirit of the Fall Windex. It's a stretch. Have a good night, everybody.
There's no way the card is called Windex.
No, it's called Spirit. It's called Spirit of the Fall Wind. I added the Windex as the
pun. I get it. That's funny. I get it. I get the joke.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good episode, bye, boys. Good episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.